Broadcasting live from the Palacious Butt Mud Ship Studios, it's the Butt Mud Ship's Variety Pack.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Butt Munch Chips Variety Pack, brought to you exclusively at buttmunchchips.com. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. I am your host, Landon Doan, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, by one of my best friends in the entire dadgum world, Hunter Freaking East.
Oh, yes, we're here to talk a little bit about a couple movies that have just come out recently, pretty big ones here.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that the year is... Of movies seems to be capped off by two big comic book movies from both Marvel and DC, Thor Ragnarok, and then followed 1 week later by DC's very much anticipated Justice League.
Yeah, they're both, I think that we've both seen them.
Yes.
We've both gone through them. We've talked just briefly before we jumped on here, and now just want to kind of see what our thoughts are and give a little bit of a grade, you know, what you think of a score of this movie or that movie. And just kind of see what we think's good, what we think's bad about them.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, there's good and there's probably bad to be found in any movie out there, but at this point, these movies are big time budget movies. They did not spend just a couple pennies on these films.
No.
It is expensive. I don't even know what the budgets were, but I know we're in the hundreds of millions.
I want to say Justice League is $250 million. Budget-wise, but do not quote me on that.
Yeah.
Though I am on a podcast, so whatever I say is factually law. So, I mean, there is that contradiction. But at the same time, like you said, these are not movies made on the cheap. These are movies, heck, even their marketing, I would say, is north of $50 million.
Easily. All right, I'm just in a quick cursory Google search. $300 million is the number that is the budget for this film, the Justice League.
Ooh.
That's pretty impressive.
That is a staggering budget, and it's interesting, coming out of the Justice League's opening weekend, it quote-unquote only made $96 million, but reports out of Hollywood are saying that's considered a failure. And it even came to the point where there was a fan movement where they were rallying fans to go see the Justice League, talking about how these heroes were there for us when we needed it the most. We need to be there when they need us the most.
Oh, good God. Well, I have to say, I'll report as of this recording, the box office is over $480 million.
Okay,
at this point.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's not a failure.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
What happened is exactly what everybody thought was going to happen. This movie is going to make a bazillion dollars. Now, granted, it did not have the Avengers opening that I think DC and Warner Brothers were hoping for, but at the same time, the Avengers was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Like so many things coming together and hitting it just right.
Yes, I agree. I mean, you took your time building up with that. I mean, the Justice League has had a few movies. I mean, they had some successes. They've had some... I think there's a big divide between the fans and people going to see it and the critics that are going to see the movies.
Oh, vastly.
I think it's obvious that the critics are really not too hot on a lot of the DC movies, except for Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman has seemingly, at this point, been universally praised.
Wonder Woman was amazing, though. You
it
have
was
to
very
admit
good.
That.
It was extremely good.
It was
good.
So
I loved
good.
It. I loved it. I'm a big fan. But I loved Man of Steel. I thought that Man of Steel was a good movie too, and the critics were so-so on that. They were definitely not hot on Batman versus Superman.
Oh no! Word was out before BVS ever came out that this was a bad movie.
I disagree with that. I didn't think it was a terrible movie.
It was an okay movie.
It was good.
I'm
a fan. I'm a fan of it. I know that some people hated certain aspects of it or didn't like it or. You know, I get that. I get your gripes, but it checked off all the boxes that I wanted whenever I jumped out there and wanted to see this particular matchup. So
absolutely, and I mean, in BVS, the moments that we do get of Batman versus Superman, those are pretty cool.
They're great.
I mean, and that is why you kind of go to these movies. I mean, it's like, it's not the best movie in the world, but it's not the worst movie in the world.
No, and I'm not going in here to see a Citizen Kane. I'm going in here to watch, you know, Superman beat the crap out of Zod in midair or something. Like, I'm ready to see this action. But, you know, the Justice League is a big success. You know, we knew it was going to make a ton of money. It's almost made $500 million. You can't lose at the box office when you walk away with that kind of cash.
And it hasn't been out for a month.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's not a failure.
And then when it hits the secondary market, raise your hand if you're going to get it in HD.
Both hands up exactly. Here. Exactly. I mean, come on. You're going to... I'm a fanboy. Mm-hmm. I'm in. Yeah. They've got my money the second they announce the movie.
And they know that. They absolutely know that.
And that's okay. I don't mind them knowing that because then they know that they've got to service the fans. And, you know, Thor Ragnarok is a deep cut in the Marvel Universe, too. You're not just doing a cursory origin story. We're combining, you know, Planet Hulk.
Yes.
Or World War Hulk and the Ragnarok storyline with Thor. Plus, you're tying all of this into the Infinity Wars. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of threads at stake here that could suffer. I mean, did you think that there was anything in Ragnarok right off the bat that didn't really get as much attention as you thought? I mean, I don't know. I heard some people were saying, like, man, the Asgard story really was not the main storyline it seemed or felt like. You know what I mean?
The Asgard story, I mean, it did not get a lot of, you know, screen time, obviously. But at the same time, it was still looming in the background, even when you were on, I am blanking on the name.
I think it was Sakaar? Is that the
well,
planet?
Sakaar is the planet from the comic book Planet Hulk. So you know what?
I think that's what they were on.
Okay, all right, then we'll go with that because, like you said, this is kind of a combination of the Ragnarok storyline with the Planet Hulk story.
Yes.
Because unfortunately, we cannot get the singular Planet Hulk movie because that would have been amazing.
But it would have been too amazing for all of us to handle.
But at the same time, like once the Hulk gets introduced in this movie, it does kind of become a Thor and Hulk movie, or then, you know, a Thor and Bruce Banner movie.
Absolutely.
It turns into a buddy cop movie.
It's such a good buddy cop movie.
So I guess that would be my one thing that isn't really talked upon a lot, because, like, again, once Banner is introduced, he is there pretty much from there to the end.
That's true.
Even you know, hulking out on Rainbow Road. Like, I'll show you who I am. Just watch.
Just watch, and he just splats onto the
damn
bridge.
That was so great.
Obviously, spoilers on this podcast. I don't think we really need to go into that.
Welcome to Spoiler Town.
Yeah, this is we're going over these movies, but yeah, when he splats on the bridge. The entire place erupted. It was so funny.
And funny, that was the tone of this movie. Like, it did its action very well. Like, the action pieces in Ragnarok were kind of like 70s heavy metal albums coming to life. Like,
just
straight up
metal as hell.
Armies of Valkyries coming out of the sky to fight beasts below.
Yeah, the goddess of death with her blades that she throws at their white horses. I mean, it's a splash page on a metal album.
I was half expecting it to break out into a rainbow album at some point while I was watching.
Like,
this.
We're gonna see Dio on a fucking steed in this movie because he deserves to be.
If only,
on this.
Yes. Dio rocks forever. Yeah.
He's sung about it for so long. Why couldn't he be in Thor Ragnarok? Oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, we digitally put, you know, Carrie Fisher up in there on
exactly.
New Hope,
come on.
Or, yeah, the Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One.
Can we at least get a CGI or, I mean, they did mm-hmm. Tupac. Give me Dio.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, seriously. Dio riding in on a Valkyrie, like,
we ride tonight. Like, that would be amazing.
Like, seriously, you need to make this happen. Like, you have the HD edition, then you have the Dio edition.
Yeah, I want the Dio edition.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it's lo-fi Marvel. I'll hand you my money. But I thought it was good. I liked Ragnarok a lot. It was fun. Mm-hmm. And it was countered with this story of, like, man, you're going to lose Asgard if you don't win this battle or you don't return to... So it was cool to have all this humor. Because it was not a really Ragnarok in and of itself, whether historically with sort of your mythical Viking lore type mm-hmm. thing, or even in the comics, is not a happy-go-lucky fun story.
No, Ragnarok, any way you cut it, is the Norse apocalypse.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, that is frowny faces, thumbs down all around.
So you're going to get more Shakespearean hints of epic tales of loss and all this stuff, and then you really will... like, you know, a buddy cop film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting vibe they've created. But they also did this. I thought the previews and the trailers that they released were spot on in tone and with the humor that that movie ended up being. You know, sometimes you get a trailer and it barely represents the film you go see.
Unfortunately, a majority of the time these days.
Sometimes, I mean, you just feel incredibly, you know, deceived.
Mm-hmm.
But with this trailer, or with this movie, I felt the trailers led up to it very well.
Absolutely. The trailers that they did release definitely set the tone that this is going to be a fun movie. This is going to be a colorful movie. Like, this has to be, I would put it in, I'm not going to make a list off the top of my head, but I would still say top five, top three, like, visually engaging Marvel movies.
Oh,
this
yeah.
felt so completely different from everything Marvel has done, except with maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy. And it's interesting that Ragnarok leads, at the very end, to the Guardians of the Galaxy, or rather, there's going to be that bridge
yeah.
of at the end of Ragnarok to the Guardians of the Galaxy to get both of them in the Infinity War.
Yeah, that's going to be a huge deal. And of course, the post-credit scene with, you know, Thor's ship coming up, and I believe that's Thanos' ship.
Yes, that is Thanos' ship.
This is so. The first time that
Uh-oh.
He has revealed himself to an actual Avenger, and, you know, that's going to be interesting as
Though
well.
Though at the same time, remember, this is the same Avenger that went into the pool that was cut from Age of Ultron
oh, yes.
and saw something that convinced him somebody was trying to get the Infinity Stones for the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
So he might know about Thanos.
He may have some cursory understanding.
Exactly. But I mean, just knowing what something is and knowing what something is are two
yeah.
completely different things.
And because in Guardians of the Galaxy, did they discuss Thanos to the Guardians of the Galaxy, or was Ronan always the figurehead for them? Did they know that Thanos was behind Ronan? I don't remember. I don't think they did.
I think at the end of Guardians 1, they're under the assumption, like, once they hand it over to the Nova Corps, you know,
hands are washed.
Wash our hands, we're cool. Hey, look, they helped us rebuild our ship. Now Groot, dance for the people.
Yeah.
Roll credits.
I think that's a good feeling there. But, you know, Gamora is connected to Thanos, so
that's
she's
true.
Got
so,
to know
so they
something.
Are definitely aware
okay.
of Thanos. So.
They have to be. So, okay, that makes more sense. But yeah, I liked Ragnarok a lot in its tone. I liked the humor. I thought it was hilarious. I love the times when Hulk and Thor are in his, basically his little, like,
apartment
house
yeah.
or whatever. And he's just, like, constant laughs. These two play off each other very well.
So well.
And, you know, the scene where the naked Hulk basically walks
oh God,
across.
Oh, God, it's like, oh, wow.
That's
I'm
in my brain now.
I'm still seeing it, yeah. Can't unsee that.
Can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
So, like,
like, Chris Hemsworth, like his comedic timing was so great in this movie.
He's very good, which is, I've not seen a bunch of his other films. Like, I didn't see Black Hat, the one he was in previously, the Hacker movie. I didn't see the Snow White and the Huntsman. I didn't see those.
No.
I don't know if he has that in those films, but he definitely has somebody coaching him right here, or he's just hitting his stride with this character.
I will say, he was really funny in the new Ghostbusters movie.
Really? Okay,
yeah,
I've heard
like,
that too.
Like,
I've heard that.
Spoiler alert on the new Ghostbusters movie. Before he gets possessed by a ghost, like, I think his name is Kevin or something. Like,
yeah.
completely brain dead, but hilarious the entire way. Like, at one point, he's looking at an aquarium. He's like, aquariums are submarines for fish. just non sequitur, like throwaway sentence. Like, what the fuck?
This guy is not all there.
No. And they're very well aware, but God, is he pretty.
Yeah, oh, he's a handsome bastard.
Yeah. Thunder God, is he pretty.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, and in this movie, he got a haircut.
Yeah, he did. This mm-hmm. is. What did you think about that? When you first saw that in the trailers, did you think they were taking shortcuts? Or did you think that was, yeah, I'm fine with it?
I was fine with it, and especially the way it was played out. I mean, he was pretty much, you know, drafted against his will into a fighting pit, and, I mean, it would make sense. You don't want long hair when if you're in a fighting pit
no.
where there really aren't rules.
Yeah, that's not good. And I like that he had that scene of, like, please don't cut my hair. Like, he was
with Stan Lee.
Yes, with Stan Lee. That was his cameo.
Yep. We got our mandatory Stan Lee cameo as a space barber with a crazy set of shears.
Yeah, He was looking great.
I don't want any part of that, by the way.
I loved it. I loved that. He goes in there, and of course, you know, they revealed it in the trailer, which I was happy they did. It didn't feel like it spoiled anything.
Exactly.
In the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hulk, you know, comes out, and they have to go after it. I thought the fight between them was great as well.
Oh, that was so fun. Loki's reaction, like, yes, now you know how it feels.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's like, do you guys know each other?
No, I'm just really into this fight.
Really into this fight. God, that was so good. By the way, Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum was amazing in this movie.
We have to
talk
about Goldblum.
It's my birthday.
Ooh, he's got sparks that come out of his fingertips. That's nice.
Yeah, like
it's so great.
Oh,
hey,
yeah. Tell me about Asgard,
Asperg, what is it? Yeah. He was awesome.
God, he was
good. I loved old Jeff Goldblum in this one. He is kind of just Jeff Goldbluming it the whole time.
Yeah, he is literally playing space Jeff Goldblum, and it is hilarious. Like,
and it works. It works.
I kind of hate that we didn't get more of him.
I do, too. I like that he was in a post-credit scene, which I thought was funny. When he's basically like, can't have anybody to revolt against if, you know, I'm not that guy.
So,
I had to play a part.
So, good job all around.
It's a tie. It's a tie. I thought he killed it in the role. I liked him.
He was so good.
I liked that Loki already had sort of this
Loki
social
had already
end.
Loki'd.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
And it was perfect. It was the perfect way to use Loki, because it's like I know you said you don't necessarily understand the hate against Dark World, but Loki was one of the shining points of that movie.
Sure.
And Dark World was not one of my favorite movies, but I still liked what they did with Loki.
Agreed.
And again, in this movie, they found a good use of Loki as opposed to, well, you know, people like Loki, so Here's Loki, everybody. Yep.
Well, and it was awesome because, you know, when he comes back, the scene with Anthony Hopkins pretending to be, you know.
That was great.
That was great.
And the people they had playing in the play.
Matt Damon.
Liam Hemsworth. And then, oh, by the way, Sam Neill. Like, I had no idea that was Sam Neill. Right up until he took like the Odin eye patch, like, oh, that is Dr. Grant. What's up? That was so great.
It was very good. I liked those little touches.
Like,
again,
set the tone of the movie.
Such
good
humor.
Thor and Loki play off each other so well.
Oh, I loved it. And I felt like the theme for this movie was about sort of evolution. Like, when they, you know, long term, when they look at Asgard is not a place, it's a people. Great line.
Mm-hmm.
What great send off for Odin, I thought, in this movie with Anthony Hopkins. I'll get back to that. But I liked that they had that overarching theme. But then they have these little, you know, touchstones there that they're going to, you know, hit on with Loki and him in the beginning, the evolution of them when they're in the elevator scene.
Oh,
I love that.
That was so great.
You know,
brothers just talking with each other.
Yeah.
Like if somebody who has talked with the brothers, like, all right, how are we going to scheme out of this?
Yeah.
We have to figure out what. All right, this is your story. This is mine. Like it hit those tones so well.
Yes,
it was so great.
And I even liked when they were saying, when Thor was like, our paths, you know, diverted from each other a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like that idea that Loki kind of realized Thor wasn't going to play the same game forever. You know, I just don't trust you. That's now normal. It has nothing to do with brothers or whatever. It's just, I don't trust you. And then when they get out of the elevator, of course, he, you know, believes that Loki's going to do something, which he does, and he nails him with that, like, shock treatment.
That was so good. and then the rock monster, which, by the way, is voiced by the director of this movie.
I did hear that.
So great. Like the tone, like hey, we got a spaceship. You want to come with us?
It's like the most inside harmless voice you've ever heard coming out of some broom.
A rock monster. A literal monster made of rocks.
That was amazing. I did like that a lot. The humor was just so spot on. And it was appropriate. There were times where, you know, even with Hela, I thought Hela, played by Cate Blanchett, she had a couple of lines in there where she was, you know, did you not just hear what I said?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Do you know who I am? I mean, that was great. I loved that.
She was definitely having fun with it. You could tell. I mean, just like vamping it up, eating the scenery.
Exactly.
As a goddess of death.
That was very cool.
But at the same time, it's like, it's interesting. Like the tone it set is fun, but it kind of takes away the punch of, like, the goddess of death is coming for your home planet, which,
yes,
spoiler alert, She ends up...
Doesn't make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Asgard doesn't... The Asgard, the place, does not survive Ragnarok.
I mean, like you said, we already got the line, you know, Asgard isn't a place, it's the people. Which, good line.
Yeah, it's a great line, and
nice,
it's good.
Nice cop-out, too.
Yeah.
Still a good line.
Oh, is that what allows this fucking fire demon to thrust its sword into the heart of Asgard? Okay, cool. I'll take the people.
Sweet. All right. Though, again, the visuals were really metal.
Very cool. Oh,
like,
so
like,
metal.
So awesome.
I mean, you've got a demon made of fire with a kneeling and drawing a sword into the heart of a mythical Asgard. Like, how?
And
I want my next album with that on it.
Right? And oh, by the way, you have a gamma monster coming to fight the fire demon.
This is incredible.
You know what? Set it up. I want to watch that movie.
How do we keep this going all the time? And, you know, of course, Cate Blanchett looking just badass in the whole garb with this, like, you know, the horns and everything that comes out of the helmet that she wears.
Her rack.
Jeez, not, yeah.
I okay, there has to be a
better
phrase. Yeah, I am so sorry. Let me apologize.
But I mean, that really wasn't, it's like, looks like those Under Armour shirts that are like geared towards hunters. It's got these like long antlers.
Or like a rack of antlers on a deer.
Yeah, I mean.
Of death.
It's deer of death.
Yeah. By the way, I'm calling that for my band's name.
Yes.
You know?
Deer of Death is the second album from the heavy metal trio. Man, I think that it was well done, but it did kind of take away a little bit from that. This is serious because it's an apocalypse. It was the most fun I've ever had in an apocalypse. I'll say that. That if that's the thing to be said.
Well, I think they're going to put that on the poster. So.
Absolutely. You
so
can quote me on that, Marvel.
Yeah. Hunter East, everybody.
I just think that they really sort of undercut that seriousness with the humor.
I was going to say, like they did take away from the seriousness of it, but I don't know if I necessarily mind it. Now, if you know, the Flash was over here cutting jokes every other second, like, oh man, look at Batman. He looks like a bat. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Like stupid shit like that. And the tone that Justice League set, I think that would have bothered me, but over here in Thor, they're like, yeah, this is fun, even though we're dealing with, you know, the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Shrugs.
Yeah, all shoulders over here. Yeah. Which is whatever. Like, I don't know. I think
we got a bug monster, too, with the rock monster. You like that?
I thought that they did a good job of it, and I loved the visuals. I loved everything with it, but it did cut down on that serious tone. Justice League definitely felt like a more serious movie. Whereas, you know, it
there were real stakes.
They were there, yes, there were. And with this, it felt a little bit softer on the landing when it came to something like that. But I didn't dislike it. It didn't hurt the film for me.
Mm-mm.
Because I think that in a way, Marvel's sort of giving you a feel-good one. Because shit's probably about to get dark with Infinity War.
Well, remember, we still had Black Panther before we hit Infinity War.
Exactly. So we still got a little ways to go. But
which,
I think
by the way,
they're...
Black Panther looks awesome.
Black Panther looks so good.
Oh my God, looks so good. Ugh.
I'm loving it. I'm loving that in the past decade, Marvel has made billions.
Yeah, with a B.
With a B followed by an illion.
Yeah.
They made on these comic book characters.
A couple B's. Yeah.
That's incredible.
I mean, Avengers alone, I think, made $1.6
billion.
Alone.
What the shit. Speaking of budgets, I got the budget for Thor Ragnarok. $180 million for the budget for Thor Ragnarok. So it's almost half of what Justice League, and as it stands right now, the box office complete is $790 million for Thor Ragnarok, the third installment of that character.
Wow.
And not even a consecutive appearance. Obviously, you had movies in between the other ones to split it up, and they're still coming out to see these characters. That's a huge turnaround.
Wow.
So,
I mean, $1 billion is
within reach.
Yeah, for the third Thor movie.
Wow.
Which, again, it was the best Thor movie.
I agree. I think it was the best Thor movie, and I liked the first two. There was good humor in the first one, too.
The first one, like the fish out of water, like going from you know, hardcore Shakespeare to fish out of water in Oklahoma.
Yes, it worked so well.
It was fun, and I am pro Kat Denning. More Kat Denning.
Huge fan of her.
Yes,
exactly.
Huge fan of Kat Denning.
So I think that They've knocked it out of the park with this one. Mm-hmm. I thought that the movie was great. I loved the interplay of the characters. I loved seeing the cameos, whether it was Goldblum or, you know, Stan Lee.
Heck, Strange.
Matt Damon, Strange. All, and of course, the post-credit scenes from, what is it? The Avengers? What is it? What's the post-credit scene where Doctor Strange is, I guess it's after Doctor Strange, is Thor.
Yeah.
And him filling the beer up. And
yeah, it was that exact scene. Yeah.
Yes. It was in the movie.
And I love the fact that that is how Strange is going to be tied to the Avengers, because without Thor, they're going to be like, the hell is with the dude in the cape over here?
Yeah.
By the way, why do you talk so weird?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and I think that Thor and Doctor Strange are those cosmic pieces. Like, those are the ones that will connect more so with Loki and Thanos and all, and Ronan and
hell,
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Throw in the Scarlet Witch as well.
Yeah, exactly. And Vision, I mean, he's got an Infinity Stone on his head.
Do we want to talk about the trailer?
I mean, good God, he's getting taken down. We all knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, he is rocking an Infinity Stone. And oh, by the way, spoiler alert, Thanos gets all five at some point.
Yeah, he gets all of those and puts them on the gauntlet, and they're fucked. Mm-hmm. So we all knew that was happening. But, I mean, you've got those cosmic elements tying the Thanos thread to everything. Whereas in this one, Thanos wasn't... I think right now in the Marvel Comics, there is a storyline where Thanos and Hela are an item. Because she is part of the manifestation of death. In the original Infinity War comic, it is death that Thanos is courting.
Yes,
that's the little line from the end of Avengers, right?
It is not any incarnate of death. It is literally death herself.
Yeah.
And in the comic, it is literally a skeleton wearing like a robe, like with a skeleton face. He is doing all of this to impress death.
Yeah.
And then eventually he realizes death is not going to be impressed by anything that he does, because he truly loves himself more than death. Yeah. And then Thanos goes crazy and does it for Thanos. And then, you know, things go bad for Thanos.
Things go very, very rough for a lot of people in that storyline. But
yes, very much so.
I think that this is one of those feel-good movies that they're giving us, kind of like a Guardians movie before that gets a little darker and things take a turn for the worse.
Before the punch in the gut.
Yes. And I'm okay with the punch in the gut. I'm okay with a little Game of Thrones style feel with this, because I want real stakes for something that big.
Because, I mean, you've mentioned it several times, which, again, it's kind of staggering. This has been going on for a decade.
They've been pulling this off.
And there haven't really been any deaths.
There's the stakes, I mean...
Like
Civil War, I thought somebody was going
somebody
down.
Somebody had to die. But the worst that happened was Rhodes... jacks up his back. Which,
yeah, I mean, at the end, you know, Winter Soldier does lose his metal arm.
But it's a metal arm. It seems like Bucky got better in time for the Infinity Wars trailer, which, by the way, I'm willing to bet we'll see Bucky in the end credit of Black Panther.
Yeah, or we'll see Captain America and Bucky somehow, you know, they have a stake in that. Because I think the ending end credit scene on Civil War was them in
Wakanda.
In Wakanda.
Putting Bucky into cryo.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was in Civil War.
So I think they'll have a little role there too. But with this movie, it was still its own thing. I do like how Marvel still is able to sell me a story that does not have to play into Thanos all the time. That's much to their credit. I think that they play into it better than the DC world has done, because I wanted Justice League to mention more so Darkseid. I wanted a little bit more hint to
Absolutely.
Apocalypse and all of these other things.
We got, what, one line? One throwaway line of Darkseid?
And we even got New Gods, and I like that.
Which, I mean, yeah, absolutely cool. We're setting up the New Gods. We're setting up to Darkseid. But Steppenwolf? Steppenwolf? Are you kidding me?
I don't know. It was a very odd choice of villain. I mean, it was fine as far as a formidable opponent to fight, to fist fight. Sure, but I don't know the motivations.
That that to me was my biggest problem with Justice League, was Steppenwolf, because I never took him seriously like at all. From the way he looked, I had PlayStation 2 games that looked exactly like he did. He did not look good at all, like imposing whatsoever.
Yeah. You didn't like the visual effects of him at all.
No, did not like the visual effects, and they got it right by the end of the movie. I also thought Cyborg had some moments where it's like, okay, I see what y'all are going for, but...
Yeah, Cyborg I thought was going to be the worst looking one in the movie, to be honest.
Ended up being Henry Cavill's mustache.
The mustache.
Holy shit.
I will say this. I know people that didn't know that mustache was a thing, and they never noticed it. So
I was the exact opposite.
I knew it was there, and I couldn't stop focusing on it.
Oh, God, what is that?
It was tough.
Like you said, I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
It was weird.
Like I want to see Justice League again, and part of the reason is, it's like, okay, I know it's coming.
I know it's there.
Yeah, I know you it's there. Just take myself out of it. But the first view through, I couldn't take my eyes. It's like
it was awkward.
It's like, what is that? Like,
is that a lip? Is it? What the fuck is going on?
like, it was so jarring, and it's upsetting because everything else around it was pretty
fine.
Good.
Was fine.
Like I had a lot of fun in
this.
Like this
is the Justice League movie. Like do you think even when they had the post credit scene in Avengers where Captain America had to grow a goatee or something for another role?
Yeah,
he
full
had his
beard.
Fist
yeah, just
covering it,
covering
like,
the mouth,
sure,
eating shawarma. Yeah,
yeah, he made sure that that wasn't a problem.
It's like you bling blongs couldn't figure this out.
Unfortunately, did not get to walk past that blemish so gracefully. Ugh. It was glaring. If you knew about it, but I knew people that didn't know about it, and I'm not going to tell. I've got my lady that I'm going to take to see Justice League after she sees Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
And I'm not going to tell her about that, and I want to see what she says.
Okay, well, just make sure she downloads the podcast after y'all see
after,
it.
Absolutely.
We need the numbers. By the way, tell your friends.
Tell you. But yeah, I think that speaks volumes. Okay, so that means that Justice League cost almost twice as much, and the visual effects were good in some parts, in others.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, what did you think of the visual effects of Thor Ragnarok?
The visuals in Thor were very bright and colorful, and like they were trying to grab you. We talked about it earlier. It felt like a 70s heavy metal album, but at the same time, I also felt like it kind of took a little like hint from the 80s with like your neons
yes.
and like a bunch of yellows and pinks and purples and like colors that jumped out and grabbed you. Heck, even electric blues and stuff like that. Heck, we even kind of got a Willy Wonka ride when Thor was first captured and was being introduced to Space Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
And that was like all of the like visually neon trippy colors coming at you with him screaming, "I want to get off!"
I loved it. I thought that was so cool.
Like I loved the visuals of Ragnarok. They were so pretty to look at, for the lack of a better
term.
They
were very entertaining, and they didn't shy away from the bright colors. Some of these superhero movies, they can get, especially, and I understand with some of the other movies, like Man of Steel or Batman vs. Superman, I get that it can be, you know, very dark and sort of gritty. Even Wonder Woman, I thought, mm-hmm. the third act, the final boss fight, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, there was a little bit of that too, you know?
Little also PlayStation 2 graphics when Ares came out.
Like that was weird.
On rewatchings of Wonder Woman, I've noticed when it gets to that point, it's like, huh, this really does take a turn.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Spend the money. But I mean, that's it. They did. They spent $300 million, whereas Thor only spent $180 million.
And when you said it was only...
Again, only.
Only, yeah, $180 million, I'm impressed they were able to pull that off for
I'm
that
impressed
budget.
Too.
That
I'm
was,
impressed.
That's really getting bang for your buck.
But I think that you're also probably looking at something like Marvel and Disney are obviously in bed with each other. They're owned by the same company.
No, Marvel is in Disney's bed.
Yeah, that's so.
And also
probably,
Marvel's Disney.
There are probably resources that
Hell,
they
we're
can
all
use.
Disney.
We're all Disney. It's like Google right now. At this point, I think that Marvel probably has enough resources to use that are probably not going to be as expensive. Do mm-hmm. you think? I mean, Warner Brothers has definitely got plenty of resources and DC and all that stuff. But because Marvel has ties with Disney, that's got to open up some serious avenues of cash.
One would definitely imagine so, especially in the Marvel studio sense, where they're working in this under the same umbrella as, you know, visionaries at Pixar who can do these graphics so well. I mean, heck, even Disney Studios here recently with Frozen, I mean, say what you will about how it's taken over the world, but it's still a very well put together movie. It looks good.
Yeah.
So Disney in-house has a lot of already has people in-house that knows how to make these graphics look the best. So
yeah.
You would imagine if, you know, this doesn't look just right. Disney realizes how big of an investment they have in Marvel. They'll be like, hey, Sam, before you get out tonight, could you take a crack at this?
Exactly.
It's Thor going to a tea party.
I think that's something that is apparent in that. Because, man, that's... I mean, because it was a lot of visuals. There's a lot of of parts of that that were not just a set. They were CGI. They were, you know, the audience.
Tons of CGI, I mean, I'm willing to bet.
So much. So that's pretty impressive that the budgets are that way, and the turnout is just huge. I mean, let's be honest. Both of these movies have exceeded their budget and then some.
Oh, yes.
Both Thor is winning by a mile, but at the same time...
Had a smaller budget, had a weak head start. But I don't understand how people were saying Justice League had a bad opening weekend.
No, that's foolish.
Like, are y'all on crack?
Yeah. What is winning to y'all?
Exactly.
Because
like,
if this is losing, Jesus, how do you? I don't understand. But I thought the tone in Justice League was better when it came to Batman versus Superman. I feel like everybody griped. They griped about the tone. Okay, so they changed the tone.
They did.
They had humor. They griped about how long it was. They made it shorter. You know, they did these things, and then there was just some... I liked Justice League. I thought it was good. There was just something about it that was... It was like close. So close to being great, but it just wasn't there. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
It's interesting you mention about how everybody griped how long it was, and they made it a nice, compact movie. I would have killed for like 15, 20 minutes more.
I agree.
In this movie, because again, it's like, they're like, could we get a 5-minute like primer on Steppenwolf? Because
yeah, we need that primer.
Because we're like 30 minutes into the movie, and my girlfriend's like, who the hell is this guy? It's like, I don't know. He's part of the New Gods. He's close to Darkseid.
Just watch the movie. Stop asking questions.
Exactly. Shut up. Watch the movie.
And it felt like there were times where Justice League was doing that to me. It's just like, hey, shut up, dude. Just here's your Batman. Shut up.
Yeah.
And I understand. I'm not trying to spit in the eye of that. I'm just saying, yeah, the movie I felt like could have benefited from having a couple of more exposition pieces.
Please.
On a character or two.
Yeah.
And especially the villain that we're coming together to get after. Although I loved the scene where the Amazons had to run and try and save the mother.
That was so cool.
That was intense.
The way they put together a chain, for the lack of a better term, like, they just kept moving it as fast as they could.
That was awesome.
But then Steppenwolf just shows up and takes it. And it's like, okay, that was cool. And like the flashback, by the way, speaking of the flashback, Green Lantern.
Yes. We have to talk about this.
Yeah.
This is huge because it got my heart racing, because here's the deal. There are certain things that I understand people have gripes about on these movies, Marvel or DC, more so DC, I get it. But I will say this, even on those times, there's things that they get so right, and I like that they give me those options. I remember two specific lantern spots. When they show the flashback, and one of them is like, he creates a hammer or something and knocks something out. He's flying and doing the power. And then the other one that Steppenwolf kills a lantern and the ring flies away to find
off.
The new owner. Like,
yes.
That's so good,
oh,
DC.
Oh boy, here we go.
I love the world building elements that you're putting out there. It just seems like they're a little too sparse and too laid out. They're too spread out. I need them to be a little more in vicinity of one another, as far as not proximity of when they happen, but the Green Lantern, I don't see outside of those mother boxes now how that would have tied Green Lantern to Batman.
Yeah.
Like a human story, or the Flash to, you know, a Martian Manhunter or to Cyborg. I don't know how that works.
Speaking of, I'm kind of bummed we didn't get Manhunter.
I mean, would you rather have Cyborg or would you rather have Martian Manhunter? Because that's the obvious switch from the comic books and cartoons that I remember.
Yeah, and here recently, I mean, Cyborg being elevated to, borrow a wrestling term, a top guy.
Yeah.
That's very recent, because, I mean, like when we were growing up, he was just a guy, not even the leader of the Teen Titans. He was on the Cartoon Network show.
That's about it.
Yeah, and that's about it.
And I didn't even pay attention to the Cartoon Network show, so
dude,
I had
you
no
missed
idea.
Out. It was so good.
I heard.
It
I
was
heard
so
since
good.
Then that he was a standout character there. So I like that he is elevated, and I liked him. A Cyborg was a big plus for me in the movie.
Like, honestly, that was the one character that I thought they told a very good introduction of. Like
great
Aquaman, I
I want an Aquaman
movie. Yeah, I want an Aquaman movie. Part of the reason I want an Aquaman movie is so they can flesh out that character.
Yes.
I want a Flash movie because I really like the Flash.
Of course.
He was so great. I think we have Joss Whedon to thank for that because it really seemed like every one of his one-liners was just straight out of Joss Whedon's mouth.
I thought that it was great. I loved his little piece when he's up top with Commissioner Gordon and he's like, oh, they all just left. Wow, that's rude.
That's really rude.
And then just disappears.
Yeah, just
I thought that was awesome. I think that his lines were great. His thing about brunch was hilarious. I mean, he's just funny. He was the comic relief. I knew he was going to be. And
which
he did
I mean,
a great
job. That's the Flash to a T.
Yeah.
Whether it be Wally, whether it be Barry, whether it be, you know, anybody else, because the Flash has been like a bazillion people at this
he's
point.
He's been around.
He's always that lighthearted character who's cracking jokes. He's the attitude that Spider-Man has in the Marvel universe.
Yes, exactly.
Takes nothing seriously, always has the one-liners. It's like, I want to see more of that. Cyborg, on the other hand, I thought, like, they introduced him the best to where I really felt like I knew that character from the way they almost had the hidden reveal of seeing Victor Stone, or what was left of Victor Stone, as the Cyborg talking with his dad. Like, and you know, him saying it's like, you know, the monster that they've become, and his dad's like, oh no, you're not a monster, and he's like, that's interesting, you think, when I say monster, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah.
That was such a great line.
I mean, I did think that there were some serious beats that they hit in this film with certain characters that were purely that character. I mean, you've read a number of comics. We're both big fans of a lot of these characters and have been for years. So when they really distill that perfect moment on screen of like, yeah, that's like 30 years of that character distilled into that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what that character means. Like when Captain America has I think it's Winter Soldier or Civil War, where the girl gets up and reads his speech that he says in the comics of, you know, you have to stand like an oak and, you know, tell them that they need to move and not you, if you know you're right and all this stuff. Like, when they take those moments and they put them there on screen, it works. And that, I felt like, was a Cyborg moment. That was great that they gave him that piece.
Well, and the moment that they gave him at the very end, I was kind of like, I don't want them to do this because I thought they would pull it off in a cheesy manner and just make it seem really stupid. When he said booyah,
yeah.
I'm like, yes, booyah indeed. That was so great. Like just the tone of like where it came, it was such a great, just satisfying moment.
And that's that, and I'm not familiar with it enough, but that's a callback to like his, what, Teen Titans?
Teen
show?
Titans, yeah. That was his catchphrase. Okay. Booyah! He booyahed everything. And I was like, okay, I'm like, on the one hand, I want them to do it because I'm a fan of the show. On the other hand, I'm really afraid how they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I thought they handled the tone very well. And it's like,
yeah.
I think part of the reason they handled the tone so well is they got Superman right.
Yes, they did get Superman
because
right.
Because in the immediate like lead up of him dropping the booyah is Superman being like joking around, making a joke after he gets his face wrecked. He's like, okay, I was wrong. I want to die now. like right across from Cyborg, and Cyborg's like, all right, cool. If he's all right, I'm all right.
I'm good. Yeah.
And it's like, I love that. Cool. And they got Superman right. He's supposed to be this guy everybody likes, the smiling, you know, always positive Marvel.
We're looking at you.
Exactly. But I really, I know you said you're a fan of Man of Steel and BVS.
Yes.
But I always felt like they never hit the tone of Superman correctly because Zack Snyder was trying to make this, you know, dark and gloomy universe. But that's, dark and gloomy just ain't Superman.
I felt like that with Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman, it was, maybe he didn't plan on doing these three films, and I think that's a key difference of the Marvel and the DC universes. Zack Snyder, it was more like Marvel went out and found the people it wanted. DC
yes.
got Zack Snyder, and they had to sort of be beholden to his vision, good or bad, which I like. The thing I love about Zack Snyder movies is like that looks like exactly like what it would be on a splash page. He is the king of giving you, and maybe to a Michael Bay point, of like, give me the explosion and cool camera angle.
Yeah, base explosion.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. Zack Snyder, I think he has more story to tell than Michael Bay.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I really like the way he visually tells his stories. like everything, regardless of if you didn't like the some of the plot lines to BVS or to Man of Steel or something, I never felt that cheesy pulled out of the movie moment with any of the special effects or what he was doing trying to make the scene look good. Like, I always thought he made that. If movies could be like graphic novels, they'd be like Zack Snyder films and vice versa. Like, when he did 300,
yeah,
it's perfectly like the
comic.
The book, it's yeah. so good. When he did I Like Watchmen, when he did that...
Watchmen was a fun movie.
It was very visually striking. It wasn't... And it wasn't cheap visually.
No.
It looked very... He looked like he had some expensive graphics on that shit. So... I like the way he visually storytells, and that's why I think I give him a little bit more leeway than some people that go see his movies. They'll try and rip him up and down for, you know, the way that he does some things, but I actually like a lot of what makes Zack Snyder Zack Snyder. I like his stink on things.
I get that, and it does seem like Zack Snyder is one of those names that is polarizing one way or another and can set a lot of people like going into a movie with a mindset again one way or another.
Absolutely. I can see that. But I thought that Justice League had a cool tone to it, and he did a lot of very visually pleasing things. I loved the underwater scenes with Jason Momoa and Aquaman.
Yeah.
I loved all of Aquaman. I want more Aquaman. I loved the little spat with Mira.
Amber Heard. Amber Heard was cool as Mira.
She did awesome.
I want to see more of that.
I definitely want to see more of that. I want him, because at this point he's rocking the Quindent. I think it's 5 on the... It's not a trident. He doesn't have the trident
yet. I didn't even notice that.
I saw some interview with him on YouTube and he was like, no, we don't have the... He said this. He goes, we don't have the trident yet. He was like, it's the Quindent right now because it's 5 spires on
Man,
this weapon.
Man, what
I was
a
like,
nerd.
Oh, shit. I was like, so maybe in his film, that's what he gets.
He will go to the trident.
That's his sword in the stone that he pulls, basically, I'm going to guess. That'd be cool. I'd be down. But I liked their spat. I like how they're not getting along very good. They're supposed to be sort of at an arm's length with one another, even though they're...
Uneasy alliance.
Exactly. And I like the... I don't know how they did the water bubble. Is that how they're going to have to talk throughout all of Aquaman?
I guess so. Otherwise, I mean, like, a very graphically heavy movie is going to be that much more so, because if they don't do the whole water bubble effect while they talk, they're going to have to animate hair moving while they talk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's going to run into a lot of money.
That's going to be some money. But I liked Jason Momoa. I thought the scene with him on the lasso was hilarious.
That was so good.
He got probably the best laugh in the movie. Like, that was solid.
And it I will say though, the my man line, it's like, oh, like I really think Rick and Morty ruined that for me, because whenever he said
my
it
man.
Exactly, all I can think of is that is
Postal
the
work?
Glitching out mailman walking into the tree. My man.
I was surprised. I thought that the way that they were showing me the trailers, I didn't know if he was going to be super hard aqua bro or if he was going to be like, you know, I mean, he did surf an alien through a fucking building in this movie, which I thought was
that
amazing.
Is true. Yeah.
I thought that was amazing.
That is really true. I hadn't put that together until now.
Totally stabs that alien, pulls it out, and then just rides him the whole fucking way down the building. That was metal as shit.
Yeah, like...
Again.
I really enjoyed the action in Justice League.
It was very cool.
Like
the parademons were awesome.
Yes, and that's one nice thing, much like we saw in the Avengers with the Chitauri. If you just have a bunch of faceless fodder dudes, you like it is just constantly setting up for the spike.
Yeah.
Setting up for the spike. Setting up for the spike. And
slamming that shit home.
And the action when the team started playing off of each other.
Oh, so good.
I thought was great.
So good.
Except for Batman was kind of hanging out just shooting dudes in the corner.
I mean, you know, that's what he's gotta do at this point. Like, you're facing parademons and fucking Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. I'm a huge Batman fan. I'm a gigantic Batman fan. But I understand the limitations of the character. That there are certain times it's like, this ain't your fight, Bats. Like,
yeah, just
you go back. You go hang back and be the cavalry of something. I don't know what. You got to do something else. Because I will say.
Well, then he should have been the one that went and got that stupid Russian family we cut to like 7 times.
Yeah, what was that all about? Like, I'm lost on that one.
I was expecting some massive payoff. Like some big reveal that it was like Starfire or something.
Something.
Like that was hiding on Earth and she, you know, Deus Ex Machina. No, that was actually reserved for Superman.
Yeah.
Showing up and being literal Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
But like that like the whole cutting back to the Russian family, the payoff was so the Flash could push their truck.
I don't understand.
What?
What? Why did we? Why do we? Again, we're talking about how this movie needed about 15 minutes. Let's cut the Russian family bits.
Gig that crap.
What are we doing?
Like, the payoff was seriously so Flash could push a truck and Superman could go, hey, stop fighting something that could end the world to go pick up a building of people.
Yeah, I don't understand.
What?
There were some what? Weird things that happened there. What did you think about how they brought back Superman with the mother box and the pool that Lex used and all that? Did you think that was good? I mean, that's not how it was done in the original Doomsday comic, obviously.
Now, I thought in this universe, it was a fine enough way to bring him
it
back.
It made sense
It made sense enough, and it introduced or it had everybody in the Justice League play their part. You know. Flash had to run and you know, time hitting the water just right, and Aquaman had to, you know, stand in water because
Aquaman
exactly.
It's water.
but in the immediate aftermath when it was, you know, Kent trying to process what the hell is going on.
Yeah, dark Superman basically of him coming back and like He fucked up the Justice League.
Yeah, I mean, ready to make them kneel before Zod. But you know, not Zod. Kal-El,
I thought that was... I mean, I was okay with that. I thought that when...
It was great. I was absolutely okay with that.
The shock of coming back has got to be something crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like that has to be, like you said, a shock to the system. Like, what is going on?
Holy
Because you went from... I mean, depending on what you believe, you went from the afterlife back to planet Earth, or you went from nothingness back to everything. And, oh, by the way... You're a crazy powerful being.
Yeah. Sidebar, you're like super OP, even in a world of heroes.
Yeah, like he just went 1-on-5 and whipped all their ass, which by the way, that scene with the Flash.
Oh yes, when he's holding them up and he starts to live. I knew it was coming.
That was
and I was so
great.
I loved it. Again,
like,
just like a comic book.
Yes.
I was like, that's a perfect frame
how
shot.
How it goes frame of Flash, frame of Superman, his eyes move. Go back to Flash, he's like
he's looking at him like
what?
This motherfucker too? Oh no.
Go back to Superman, now actually following Flash. Go back to Flash. Oh shit.
That was awesome. And I loved
the
credit scene where they do the race between Superman and Flash.
We got that.
We get to see that.
We got that.
That's
like
so
of
amazing.
Course we don't get to see the payoff,
but of course,
you know what?
But it was always some tie or some bullshit
exactly.
in the comics anyways.
It was always for charity and it was a tie and somebody got a second round draft. I don't know.
It was still fun.
There was never a payoff, but the fact that we got to see Superman versus the Flash in a race.
In real time. Like,
on the big screen.
On the big screen. That's
on the big
so
screen.
Crazy.
So cool.
Oh, and that was a great payoff moment. Again, distilling that perfect comic moment on screen. Done. That was a great one.
Okay, while we're talking about one post-credit sequence, let's talk about the second one, which apparently is where DC willing, Justice League 2 is going to head the League of Doom.
Yeah, is it Legion of Doom?
Legion of Doom. There
we
go.
We've got Jesse Eisenberg back as a bald Luthor out of prison
with Deathstroke.
With Deathstroke. And this is the villain that is supposed to be in the solo Batman movie that at first Affleck was directing and starring in.
Which
now he's only starring in, and now that may not, I mean,
like,
that's
like,
on the rocks.
Like on my other podcast, Nerd News Cafe, we talk about as the Batfleck turns, because
yes.
It really just seems like a never-ending drama. He's Batman, and he's happy. Now he's not Batman, and he's not happy. Well, he might be Batman, but he also might have gas.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going on? Like,
I think there's a little bit too much of the under the microscope with that. I mean, the guy plays a character in a movie. You can see how he's like, dude, I have done so much. Why is this the one fascinating thing that you just won't leave me alone about?
Because
like
it's Batman.
I mean, I understand.
Like,
but from his point of view, it's just another, maybe it's just another character, or I don't know.
But you can't understand. You're signing on to be Batman, and you're reading the contract.
It's a huge deal.
Where you see, by signing this contract, you are committing to not just one Batman movie.
No.
To several movies where you play this character. And oh, by the way, that character is Batman.
Yeah. So you gotta do that. And this is, you just need to buck up and do it. I like him as Batman.
Yeah, applesauce.
I've enjoyed...
Wait, different movie, sorry.
I've enjoyed him as Batman, so I don't have a problem with him playing the character.
Yeah,
it's not
I
that
like
I
the
want
Batfleck.
Him... I mean, I like Batfleck. I'm down. I've enjoyed his performance in both those movies. I like that Wonder Woman pops his shoulder back into place. Like, he's... He's feeling it. He's like, man, you know, it used to be a little bit easier to recover from stuff like this.
Though, speaking on that scene, coming out of that scene, I almost kind of felt like this is a Batman that almost has a death wish. Like this is, a, like, I look at Batman like old school feudal Japan. He's a samurai that just wants to, an old samurai that wants to go out on the battlefield. And I almost kind of felt like he was setting up in this movie, the Justice League, like, okay, you four, go do your thing. I'm going to get in my car and outrace a bunch of flying bug demons.
Yeah.
It almost kind of felt like that was his moment, like he was going to take his last stand.
Yeah, I think that is the big arc with a lot of the older Batman stories that we get, whether it's Batman Beyond, The Dark Knight Returns, mm-hmm. any of those storylines, we really get a jaded Bruce to the point of, yeah, it seems like at times he's just... He's ready for his turn to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a little bit of that, and I like that. I think that some of that grittiness, even though some people may not have liked it in Batman vs. Superman, I thought it was good. I liked how kind of just over it he was. I mean, these criminals keep coming back, and all the people we've lost, and how many people actually stayed the good guy after decades. I mean, how many are really left? This guy mm-hmm. is somebody, and I think that that's what I meant when I said that people bitched about Zack Snyder. At the end of Man of Steel, they bitched that Superman tore up a town. Well, that's the impetus for Batman to be into this in mm-hmm. Batman vs. Superman. Whether he planned it or not, it works out just fine that way. Then at the end of Batman vs. Superman, they didn't like how Superman was, how it was a grimy, you know, kind of...
Dark and gritty.
Dark, gritty movie. And then now, this is what makes Bruce realize, hey, that's not how I'm supposed to... The beautiful speech that he gives about how Clark lived a life, mm-hmm. and he tried to go get married, and he tried to have a job, and he tried to have, you know, family, and he was able to enjoy that, how he was kind of more human than Bruce. Like, it took those things to get there. I feel like it's the opposite of the Marvel Universe. In the Marvel Universe, sometimes it doesn't feel like there are that many stakes. Like, there's not that much that's going to really fall through the cracks, whereas in DC, people are bitching because there are stakes that it happened. He did go too far. Superman did die. Like, maybe that's the impetus to get to the point of now we get the Superman we really want. Now we get the Wonder Woman or the Batman that we really want. Of course, because it takes fucking time. You don't just land on it the first time. I mean, Thor, granted, he has learned things, but Thor in the first Thor movie is not just miles different than Thor in this third movie that
we saw.
He just
has a different haircut.
Exactly. And he's got some new friends and new toys. But the Batman of Batman Begins is not the Batman of Batman vs. Superman.
No, not at all.
That's a totally different thing. So you get to have the evolution of a character. That's the one complaint sometimes I think I have with comic books, is a character never really gets to evolve. Bruce Wayne is always Batman, and he's always kind of that, like, middle of his career Batman. He didn't get to evolve and stop being Batman. That's why I like the Nolan films, is because you get an arc. He starts and he gets to finish by the third movie. He didn't have to just do it ad infinitum or ad nauseum forever. Yeah. Like, you don't get to do that. You actually have an evolution. Whereas in this, I liked seeing Superman evolve. I liked seeing Batman evolve. It didn't take me out of it because he was too harsh, or now he was cracking a joke like, oh, something's definitely bleeding now. Like, that's, I thought that was some humor. Like, you get to see the character change. Isn't that what you want? I mean...
So speaking on change, as somebody who's a big Batman fan, did it kind of take you by surprise that he was drinking what looked like scotch or whiskey or something? Because,
a little bit.
Because generally Batman don't drink.
Batman doesn't drink, but also...
Even as Bruce Wayne.
Even in Bruce... But Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight Returns, if we're gonna have to have a reference point, he does drink with Commissioner Gordon. And Gordon knows he was Batman.
That's true.
And so they're like, you know, yeah, it was... But he is assumed not dressing up in the cape and cowl at this point. So it's more of a... He didn't drink when he was Batman so much so.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, well, even in BVS, we had that little scene. Like, he had a lady over, and he had, like, an empty wine bottle, and Alfred cracks the joke about how the Wayne will never inherit a wine cellar.
Yeah, that's true. So...
So maybe he has, but again, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay if my Batman has a little bit of a drinking problem.
That's okay.
He's done some stuff.
He's seen some shit.
Exactly.
And especially if he's the one that has to pull everybody together, because I loved the opening scene where he basically captures a fucking parademon.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Like that right there, like people are like, why is the guy dressed up as a bat, you know, rubbing shoulders with the Krypton god and an Amazonian warrior, and, you know, the guy that runs, you know, Atlantis.
Yeah.
Shit, that's like that. That's why.
Because he's not even worried about this. Because I was so confused. I'm like, okay, this is kind of a old hat of Batman stops the thief. And then all of a sudden it turns into this really sci-fi thing.
Yeah,
and like, holy shit.
And then he pauses, and then the parademon shows. I was like,
what the shit? Like, that was very cool. And to me, the tone of that scene, the way it was handled, how things went. If you want to give me a full solo Batman movie like that without the otherworldly stuff, I'm in, man.
Yep, I'm absolutely okay.
I'm so in. That's why I was like, man, Batfleck, don't walk away just yet. I want a solo Batman movie with you in it.
Take one crack at the solo Batman movie, and then
if you don't want it,
walk away.
Walk away. I get it, but man, give me that one solid, because I like how, you know, you're saying the samurai, he's kind of the one going and being the one to pick everybody up. He has to gather all of these heroes. It's his job.
I mean,
I like that.
He is what brought the Justice League together. I mean, he had Wonder Woman's help, but he is the one that sought out Wonder Woman to begin with.
And he also sought out Aquaman. He's the one that shows up in Flash, that great scene with, you're sitting in my second favorite chair. Like,
which, by the way, Rick and Morty was on in the background. The one scene where Rick and Summer go and do steroids, pump iron, and then whip Nazi ass.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. I did not see that.
Yeah.
I've only seen... How many times have you seen these movies?
Once only.
Once only as me as well. I would like to see them in the theaters again.
See,
I want to go one more time.
I do too, but I want to see these movies for different reasons. Like Thor Ragnarok, I want to see it because it's fun and it's colorful. And, and look at the spectacle. Yay! Where Justice League, I want to watch it again to take more of it in, to see stuff that I missed out on. And it's not necessarily in the same, you know, fun tone that I'm looking forward to going seeing Ragnarok.
I understand. I do want to see Justice League again, but I also want to see that one again for the same deal. I kind of want to see it because there are parts of it, now that I sort of know what's coming, I can kind of sit back in the ride and not be so jolted by things. I can just sort of take it in stride.
That's fair.
But yeah, definitely didn't want to see Thor Ragnarok because I want to laugh some more. And yeah, definitely. Absolutely. That's going to be a fun movie.
That was such a fun-ass movie to watch.
Such a good time. I liked everything that went on. And I was a fan, again, I was very much so a fan of Justice League. The Batman moments were good. We got a Superman that was great. Teased a Green Lantern. I wanted them to tease Darkseid. They teased Thanos so good in Marvel, I wanted something.
You mentioned how they teased Thanos. Like, we walk away from the first Avengers knowing... All right, Loki was the bad guy, but he was not the guy pulling the strings.
Exactly. I wanted to see that here.
And again, going back to Justice League, another way Steppenwolf fails, I feel, as a main villain is, this would have been the perfect situation for you to let the audience know, this isn't the main bad guy. There is somebody way worse behind him pulling the strings.
Agreed.
But we get one throwaway line about Darkseid.
About Darkseid. He didn't mention Apocalypse. Do you think that... Because I believe they originally wanted to do two Justice League movies. They wanted to have a part one, do a couple movies, and then have a part two. Do you think that they were going to put some Darkseid stuff, touches in there, but because things weren't panning out, maybe the way that Warner Brothers or DC wanted that... They sort of abandoned some of that. I mean, do you think that there's anything in there, or is it just, hey, this is what they wanted to present, and so we didn't get him?
I still think even if Justice League was broken up into two movies, I don't think we would have gotten any Darkseid. For whatever reason, I feel like Steppenwolf was going to be that villain. Like, he completely wrecks the Justice League without Superman. That's how part one ends.
Yeah.
Part one ends... Boom! Superman's coffin, you know, explodes, and something flies out and shoots into the sky. That's how it ends. Part two starts. Superman comes and saves the day.
Yeah,
but like I do not understand why they didn't do anything more to set up Darkseid.
I agree. Darkseid is a great villain. I love him. I really like Darkseid as a villain in the comics far more than I ever liked Thanos.
Oh, easy.
As a villain. And that's what's crazy is that Thanos is getting the big screen time and sort of the royal treatment.
And Thanos is kind of a Darkseid ripoff.
Yes, slight ripoff. But they got there first in the cinematic
they
universe.
They did get there first. That is true.
They landed before DC, and so DC will always, you know, they're in the same ballpark. You're going to compare films. We don't have to, but they're superhero films. They're some of the ones that we grew up on, whether it's mm-hmm. Spider-Man, whether it's, you know, Captain America and all of those. Or if you're looking at Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, like, that's awesome. I really like it. And I think that both movies were good. Thor was the better movie as far as, you know, what I would rank it as more of a comic book movie or something. But I still liked Justice League. I think it mm-hmm. was good. I just think that Thor kind of handled itself knowing what it was, whereas Justice League was still sort of trying to find its way as it was getting wrapped up. You know, it didn't seem like they could just slam down their stamp on this and be like, this is what a superhero film is like. They almost had it.
That's a great point. Thor definitely never took itself seriously for one second. Like even the way the movie opened with Thor hanging from just a chain, talking to this demon, like, practically trolling him.
Yeah, just
He was straight up trolling this demon until Mjolnir showed up and he just wrecked face, roll Led Zeppelin, and we're into the credits.
Yeah.
That is how the movie started.
That was great.
They knew exactly what they were and they embraced it where, yeah, like, again, you mentioned it earlier, A Tale of Two Directors. I'd be interested to see how this movie would have turned out if Zack Snyder completed it or somebody that wasn't Zack Snyder 100% completed this movie, because Thor knew what it was the entire time.
Yes.
You said earlier, Justice League kind of was still trying to feel out what it was as it ended.
I think so, and I mean, I know they brought Superman back, and I was curious as to how that was going to happen. I knew. I had not read anything again. I'm pretty vigilant about not getting on the internet and ruining things for myself. I didn't see, for instance, the Infinity War leaked version of the trailer. I just saw the day it came out, I saw that trailer. So for me, I've avoided, you know, getting that stuff spoiled, but at the same time, like, I could see where the shortcomings were when it came to, man, it's just not there. Thor knows what it's doing. It's spot on. Justice League is almost there. And I don't know if it's A Tale of Two Directors. I don't know what it is, but there's just something that was close to being great, but it just didn't land there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a fan. I still like it. I'm going to go see it again. They're going to get my money.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, is it something I will probably go back and watch Thor Ragnarok more times because of its humor than I would Justice League for its action?
Absolutely. And I mean, like I said earlier, it's like I like the action that Justice League was able to pull off once the team came together and they started, you know, playing off of each other. But at the same time, it does not hold a candle to what Thor Ragnarok was able to bring. Just, I mean, even just from a visual spectacle standpoint.
Yeah, it was very cool. I didn't have a real big invested interest in Steppenwolf. But I got to say that a lot of people would complain about the Marvel movies. The Marvel movies' villains always, some people would argue that they feel a little throwaway. Like the Doctor Strange villain,
yeah.
The, you know, even Red Skull or some of the other guys, like, they don't feel as...
Red Skull should not be a throwaway character.
He should not at all, yeah. Especially seeing as how the universe played out with Hydra staying through it in Winter Soldier.
The only reason it's a throwaway character is because Hugo Weaving hated playing the Red Skull.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Despised putting on the makeup for the Red Skull.
Oh.
So I think that's why the Red Skull has stayed away. But I, like, other than Loki, I mean, Bucky was the enemy in Winter Soldier, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
but it was more Robert Redford
exactly.
than anybody. Let's see.
I mean,
Thor Ragnarok, the second Thor was Malekith.
Yeah, which, I mean, that whole movie's throwaway.
I mean, and then, but even, let's see here.
Iron Man 2 had Whiplash, which,
Whiplash,
I mean,
yeah.
Mickey Rourke was okay. And,
well, and even the first Iron Man, I mean, having the dude as
the Ironmonger, yeah.
I didn't think that...
Tony Stark built this suit in a cave with a box of scraps.
I mean, I think that a lot of the Marvel villains didn't feel as...
That's fair.
And that's why I want that Thanos to be... I want him to kill a few people in that movie. He needs to have that, so he's got some gravity to him.
You know, until you pointed it out, I had not put that together. That, yeah, the Marvel villains, with the exception of Loki, kind of throwaway.
Sort of like Hela? Hela was good.
But at the same time, it's like, meh.
Because you knew Thanos was the big bad, you weren't as worried about her, or... I don't know, it doesn't seem...
What you just said right there, the fact that we know that Thanos and the Infinity Wars are coming, I kind of feel like that does play into our takeaway of Hela, but also kind of just like, you know, the movie itself. Maybe that's why it did set the tone. Hey, we're just going to have fun. We're gonna play a bunch of old school, you know, rock. We're going to... make it look like, you know,
bunch of heavy metal album covers.
Exactly.
Let's just do this.
Yeah.
We ride.
Exactly. Yeah, we're just going to have some fun because, like you said earlier, issue's about to get real dark.
Yeah. I think that maybe that's one of the reasons, but yeah, Steppenwolf felt pretty throwaway in Justice League.
Comparing Steppenwolf and Justice League to, you know, Hela and Thor Ragnarok, it's like, we know there's going to be a continuation of Ragnarok, and we know where that continuation is going.
Yes.
We're kind of just guessing when it comes to Justice League.
They, with all the allusions that they could do to push us towards that conflict, they really didn't do that very much. And even in the post-credit scene, yeah, you've got... But those are human. That's all Earth-based.
Exactly. It's like, you guys have Superman back.
Lex Luthor's a bitch.
Superman showed up for 15 minutes and y'all whooped Steppenwolf's ass. like, are you telling me Superman could be like, all right, hold on, I'm gonna listen really carefully. Oh, there he is. I'm going to go get him, and I threw him into space.
Yeah, as Ta-da. Awesome as Deathstroke is, like, he doesn't stand a chance against Superman. So, it just doesn't feel as threatening. It doesn't feel as world-ending as Darkseid would. And I need a reason for Darkseid to give a shit.
I mean, hell, even at the end of Batman versus Superman, it's set up with the ending like, they're coming. And
yes.
The movie ends on the shot of that painting, and then they turn it upside down to where the demons are coming from the sky.
Yes, like so, the parademons are coming.
Exactly.
That's good. And
it set the stakes.
I like that. It set up some things, and I want them to do it. If they're going to give me Darkseid, stop teasing around. Let's do this. Let's say that this is what the big bad is.
Because here's the thing, DC. Marvel can take some chances when it comes to, you know, letting the story breathe, for the lack of a better term. You know, we're gonna pay this off in a couple movies. You know why Marvel has that ability?
They've earned that trust.
Not only have they earned that trust, they've earned literally every dollar on the planet Earth with their movies. That's why they can do that. Y'all not so much. So it's like, while I do, you know, from a writer, from a creative standpoint, I do like the fact that y'all are letting a big, you know, world-ending, a reality-ending bad like Darkseid, you know, down at the end of the road. I think it's a little presumptuous.
Yes, at this point you are assuming that your movies do very well, that you don't have misstep. Marvel has knocked it out of the park.
They made Ant-Man work.
Yeah, they made Ant-Man, Captain America, Thor, and a number of... Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Holy crap, we've got a talking raccoon.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
With a tree. Those are your main characters, which, by the way, that talking raccoon is as big as Mickey Mouse.
Exactly. It's amazing, and DC has to have more precise steps. They don't have that room, that freedom. I mean, it's just like somebody who is a free agent that's like, man, I just had two of the best years I've ever had in my career. Pay me. Whereas somebody that's like, I'm a free agent, but I haven't had the best years yet.
Exactly. You know They're what I mean? Coming. Like, brick by brick.
Don't do that shit.
Sorry.
So it's one of the things that you got to focus on. You got to focus on getting these right now so you have that opportunity later. Not saying, we'll get to it soon. No. I want to know about it now.
Yeah. If you have the Darkseid story to tell, fucking tell it now.
Tell it. And I got to say, the other thing that DC is killing on is they're doing so good on their animated movies.
Oh, my God, yes.
Their stuff is fantastic. I've yet to see a bad one.
By the way, speaking of DC animated, there is a rumor that... the original Justice League cast is willing to come back together to do an animated Justice League movie.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Seriously.
I want
DC, are you listening? Make this happen.
Please, you'll get my money, because the Flashpoint movie was awesome.
Oh, so good.
I hope they do that line in the DCEU. as they say. I want them to do that as the Flash movie.
I've also heard a lot of people speculating that they might reboot the DC or the DC movies in Flashpoint. Like that could happen. Like we already talked about how Batfleck wants out as Batman. Yeah. What better way to recast Batman if you go to another dimension?
Or, I think that's what you're going to get in the Marvel universe too with Thanos.
Yeah, they've already said that in Infinity Wars 2 or Avengers 4 is the finale for a lot of these characters.
Yeah, so you could have characters either killed off or you could have the multiverse theory introduced, and now we get to play like Rick and Morty do. We get to go out there and have endless Batmans and endless timelines and different takes on the characters. That's why the comic books are so fun. They've got Justice League Dark out there in the animated universe.
They got the Injustice video game series.
Yes, I mean, to me, in almost every other way except their movies, DC is knocking it out of the park.
Heck, even their television. We talked on it earlier.
Oh my God, yeah. The Flash TV series.
The Flash, the Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, Supergirl as well. We didn't mention her. They just had their crossover of Crisis on Earth 3 and 4.
Oh my God.
They're doing Crisis.
That's so cool.
On the CW.
I can't believe that's working. To me,
they made Gorilla Grodd look awesome.
How do they get to that point and not be able to do it as well? Again, it's good, but it's not as well as they've done it in some of the other media.
That makes no sense.
Because their animated Batman films, outside of some of the stuff with The Killing Joke,
yeah,
very weird that they made Barbara and Bruce.
Yeah,
that was a terrible misstep.
Yeah,
unnecessary. Didn't add anything to the story and was not a part of the original classic.
Do not get that decision.
Terrible. Just awful that that's what you released. Ugh, yeah. Everything else could be cool about it, but that was terrible. The Dark Knight Returns. I own both of those.
Oh, part one and two. Yep.
Mm-hmm. God, that's cool. Like, they've just done so good on all these other
Under the Red Hood is good as well.
Under the Red Hood, the Batman versus Robin and the Batman son of Batman, all that stuff. That's great too with Damian Wayne. Like, they're doing really good there. So,
by the way, the classics: Batman the Animated Series, Justice League, Mask of the Phantasm.
That was an awesome one.
Still one of the best Batman movies ever.
Damn,
doesn't matter if it's animated.
Yeah, the animated series Batman was always great. Mm-hmm. Such a good distillation of the character into a cartoon. I mean, they do so well there. So I think that Justice League was good. I want more. I definitely want more.
Yes, absolutely.
It's not something where it's like, oh, that universe needs to just die or be rebooted. No, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm still on board. And I think that you can win me over with Aquaman and Batman solo movies and Flash. And I'm in. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, I'm more on board with seeing more of the Justice League universe with those characters, standalone movies. I'm more on board than I was before I saw that movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it achieved its goal for me. Absolutely.
It did what it needed to do.
Yeah, I would give this movie a B minus. Like it is not the Citizen Kane of superhero movies, but it doesn't need to be.
No. Nobody's expecting it to be.
Exactly. This is the Justice League finally coming together. This is all your favorite toys on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, and you've got a guy, even, you know, for better or for worse, Zack Snyder, who can put them on screen and make them look great.
Mm-hmm.
He can really give you some scenes. And again, not as many metal scenes as Thor on this one, but still quite a lot of cool, you know, album cover art looking pieces there. So I thought they were both good. Very good movies. I enjoyed both of them greatly. I would recommend both of them for anybody to go see.
Yes, absolutely. And we're running late on time, so I'm going to get out real quick. This is kind of the end of the superhero movies when it comes to 2017. We've had a lot of good ones this year, starting all the way back at the beginning of the year with Logan.
Oh, yeah.
Putting you on the spot, what are your top three superhero movies this year?
Oh, man. Logan was really good. I thought Logan was fantastic. That's got to be up there. That's definitely top three for the year. Deadpool was amazing.
Was it Deadpool last year?
Was Deadpool this year?
Deadpool was last year.
Last year, damn. I thought it was 2017. Let me see here.
It's okay. Time is really moving slow these days.
Oh, yeah. But I did like Logan a lot. Let's see here. I'd say probably Logan is the top one. Thor Ragnarok is up there as well. I'd say, you know, one and two are probably those two at this point.
Okay.
I mean, what would be the ones that you thought were the best?
Logan would probably be my number one as well, just because that was such a great movie.
It was awesome.
I would put Wonder Woman up there as well.
Ooh, yeah.
And then it's either going to be Thor Ragnarok or Spider-Man Homecoming.
I haven't seen Spider-Man Homecoming
yet. It's really good.
I've heard it's really good. Yeah, Wonder Woman would be, it would be, the top three in no particular order would definitely be Logan. I'd say that's probably number one.
Yeah.
Logan, then you've got Thor and Wonder Woman. Those were awesome films.
And I mean, like, I really liked Homecoming, but I think how much I liked Homecoming and the fact that I put it tied for third really does speak to the quality of movies that did come out this year, particularly in Wonder Woman.
Hell
and
yeah.
Particularly in Logan.
Yes.
Like Logan, standouts. Logan's getting some like Academy Award buzz.
I think it should. I don't know about you, but I feel like that's a fair thing to heap on it. It wasn't this outlandish, gigantic. It felt very intimate. The whole movie felt intimate. It did the opposite of Justice League and Thor. It didn't have this otherworldly approach. It was very down to earth. I liked it. I liked it a lot. So those are the best ones this year. I think Logan deserves a nod.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's crazy to think that Logan came out at the very beginning of this year, because, God, it feels like a lifetime ago.
It's been forever.
It really has. God. Time keeps marching on, as they say. Before we get out, Hunter, where can the people find you on the social media? Or do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap this
thing? Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Instagram, I'm more active on at this point, at The Tall Effect. That's an E on the effect. And, I like doing this. I like talking about, ranking some of these movies. There's a ton of them now. Now that we've got more to talk about and things to compare them to and expectations, it's so much more fun, because previously you just had one or two movies that, I like that Batman movie or I like that Superman movie, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have this whole smorgasbord of characters and how they can be introduced. I'm just so happy that this is what I get to grow up in. Because this is part of my childhood that gets to come out. Now that that generation is growing up and has a little bit of disposable income, this is what we'd like to see on the screen, and I like that Hollywood's listening, man.
Yep, we are the target market. And it's crazy to think, like when we were growing up, we could have only dreamt of a Justice League movie. But now we're in a world where we could possibly get multiple, after we've had multiple Avengers movies and Iron Man's and Captain America's. And it's like, I talked on it a little bit earlier. It's like, yeah, okay, the fact that, comic book movies are now somewhat of a common occurrence, as opposed to, oh my God, block off this night, we're going at midnight to see Iron Man, blah, 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 stuff like that. It's like, okay, they've become more of a common occurrence, but at the same time, like, don't let the fact that they're now, more plentiful than they were take away from the fact that it's like, for the most part, not only are we getting comic book movies, we're getting really damn good comic book movies.
Really good movies that happen to have comic book characters in them.
Absolutely.
I mean, Dark Knight and Winter Soldier alone, to me, are like, Jesus, these... Mm-hmm. They just happen to have Batman and Captain America in them.
Absolutely.
They're really good movies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm super stoked. I'm glad. The inner nerd in me is so happy that this is becoming normal.
Yeah, and Disney and Warner Brother and all these other people who are cashing in on our childhood are like, yes.
Take our money.
Yes,
what you
do
get.
It.
If you do it, I'll pay for it.
Absolutely. find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Landoz, LANDOZ. That is where you can find the latest from me. 280 characters at a time. I also am part of a podcast, Nerd News Cafe. You can find that at nerdnewscafe.com, as well as wherever you find your other podcasts, that is your iTunes and your Googles and stuff like that. Hunter and I also are part of Game of Thrones Talk, aka Got Talk.
Got Talk.
That is where we break down episode by episode of HBO's award-winning series Game of Thrones. We have a full rundown of season 7 readily awaiting for season 8 whenever that is.
Whenever it is. God, please don't let us die before we figure out the Infinity Wars and Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Just let me make it that far.
Yeah, just let us get that far. You've already given me a Cubs World Series.
Oh.
Just give us how Infinity Wars pays off, how Game of Thrones pays off, and Tennessee wins not even a national championship, an SEC championship.
Yeah, yeah. Get us back to that mark.
Or better yet, they hire a football coach.
Yeah.
That would be great.
At this point, that's a step in the right direction.
And
an AD. And, well, we've got the AD.
Yeah,
now.
We got an AD. And God knows, like you could be listening to this podcast 3 months into the future, Tennessee still probably doesn't have a football coach.
Very, it could be a very real possibility.
I'm going to go drink. So for Hunter East, my name is Landon Doan. Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Butt Munch Chips Variety Pack right here at buttmunchchips.com. And remember, Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. Have a good night.
The proceeding was a Butt Munch Chips production. For more episodes and information, please visit buttmunchchips.com. Butt Munch Chips. Sit on your butt and munch.